there is a story told about a little boy named Johnny who wanted a baby brother. As the story goes, the five-year-old said to his father he would do anything for a baby brother. Dad, perhaps having some insight in the situation, said, I'll tell you, Johnny, if you pray every day for 2 months, you'll get a baby brother. I guarantee that God will give you one. I think these were kind of dangerous words, but all the same, Johnny responded with eagerness to a seeming challenge, went to his bedroom early and began earnestly praying for said baby brother. Johnny prayed every night for a whole month, but after that time, he felt a little skeptical. He checked around the neighborhood and found out that what he thought was going to happen never actually happened in the history of the neighborhood. You don't just pray for 2 months and whammo, a new baby brother showed up. So Johnny stopped praying, and after a month, Johnny's mother went to the hospital. I said Johnny's dad had a little insight here. She came back and called Johnny into the bedroom. He walked in cautiously, not really sure what to expect, but there was a bundle. And his dad pulled back the blanket, and there was not one, but two siblings. The mom had had twins. Johnny's dad looked down at him and said, "Now aren't you so glad that you prayed?" Johnny hesitated a little bit and said, "Yes, but aren't you glad I stopped when I did?" Clearly, Johnny and said dad were trying to work out exactly what is prayer and what does it do exactly. We continue this week in our one-word prayer series. We began this Lenten series with prayers of oops and help. Last week, I invited us into a more intentional time of prayer, asking God for help throughout our week. I'm wondering, did any of you have a week in which you had a lot of help kinds of prayers? I see a few nodding heads. I'll take that. This week, we're continuing with the questions about prayer. Why? Do you get it? Okay. Why? Why pray at all? I have to tell you, this question was kind of the driving force for me in this series about prayer. I find often I hear otherwise smart and intelligent folks saying, "What is this prayer thing?" Some saying it's just got to be positive self-talk. You kind of talk it through in your own mind and get it figured out. Some privilege the sovereignty of God so much that there's no reason, they say, to pray. And others seem turned off by prayer as if it was a dispensing machine. Insert want here, receive product there. Almost as if God was a fairy godmother or a genie granting wishes. But prayer is where God works with humanity to bring about divine purpose for our communal well-being. Prayer that attunes us to God and the ways in which God is working through us. Prayer makes a difference to us and to God. Prayer is where we meet God. Prayer is certainly where Abram met God. Our Old Testament lesson captures Abram right before he becomes this great man of faith who has followed God's voice across miles and has known God in these mystical one-on-one experiences. Here, we get Abram trying to make sense of these promises, hearing the word of the Lord and having lots of questions. Primarily, how is this all going to come together exactly? If I have no children, how can I be a father of a great nation or elsewise? Right now, He says, the only person who stands to inherit is my servant, Eleazar. How can this be? Every once in a while in the Bible, God speaks directly, audibly to someone. Abraham had one of those experiences. And it was one of those conversations where he must have had an awful lot of chutzpah that day. He spoke right back to God. Did you notice that? Challenging and saying, is this really going to happen? This thing you promised? This grand, all the stars in the sky kind of thing? How is that going to work out? No matter how many times God makes the promise, Abraham isn't sure. This certainly is a why prayer, mixed in with some how and some huh? Abram brings all of this to God. Notice that God doesn't rebuke him, doesn't put him down in any way. God knows that trust is hard for us. God knows that God's ways aren't obvious to us in any way. And he has compassion on Abram, showing him a little more light on the journey, making a covenant and keeping his promises. A covenant that says, don't be afraid. Trust me. I'm here, and I've got the future in my hands. A covenant that says, don't just talk the talk and keep things in your head. Give me your heart and walk with me. Look up at the stars. Look at your life with new eyes. See the miracles I've already done. And notice, I'll be faithful to you as well. This is an echo of what we heard from the Philippians passage as well. The Philippians passage that said, I know it seems like you could give up already, but wait on the Lord. Let it play out. Stand firm and steady. God is faithful, and God does respond to our whys and our hows. I wonder how often you and I are like Abram, saying, God, I have no idea how exactly this is going to come together. We find ourselves with lots of questions of why and how, rather than blind acceptance. I think many of us have a growing list of parts of our lives in which we'd like answers to. It hasn't come together exactly. It's a little overwhelming, quite frankly, or we'd like to change that thing over there already. God, in prayer, invites us into a relationship to bring those things to God, to offer up our needs and our wants, ourselves and our desires, the ways in which God is moving through us. And alongside that, all of our questions, all of our whys and our hows, our walking together in fear and in hope. And then asking us to pass that on to others. This morning, as we look around, we notice there's a lot who we want to pass the faith on to. That faith that comes with questions and ponderings, curiosities and uncertainties. We celebrate this morning scouts who have gathered, scouts who at their very core are those who seek God's way. Both the Girl Scout and the Boy Scout law have that as a part of who they are. Scouts who we as a congregation commit to saying their faith journey matters to us. We made promises to some of them even at their baptisms. Just like today, where we'll make promises to Jack and to his family, saying, we will walk alongside you. Your faith journey is a part of our faith journey. Telling him that God loves him, created him, and we want to walk with him. There he is, in the ways that lead to faith. I hope as you came in today, you noticed in the narthex the prayer tree that's beginning to grow on the wall. Yes, it's paper. Someone asked me if it was a real tree, the paper tree that's growing on the wall. It grew first last week with our prayers of help. This morning, I'm asking that you might find in your bulletins, this week's pink, a pink post-it note. I want to invite you to put on that pink post-it note a word or a phrase. That's your why question. We all have some of them. Your how question. Take a moment and write something down, would you? After worship, I invite you to put your prayer on our prayer tree, that growing tree that reflects our community. There were those throughout the week who paused and prayed for your prayers of help. There will be those this week who will pause and pray for your prayers of why. I invite you to pray, particularly when it seems like it doesn't make any sense. When questions overwhelm, and faith would just be easier if we all had a fairy godmother or a genie we could rub out of a bottle. I invite you to walk with God in the midst of real life, the place where there's no wrong questions, the God who loves you and made you, the God who calls you special, wants to walk with you in the valley of the shadows. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.